It's a good day, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, we got the
laughter going on. It's a good day.
Amen.
It's a good day, good day, good day. Well, I'm back. I've been gone for two Sundays. I mean, I was here one Sunday and gone another. I thank Kelvin. I thank Carol for doing the class. They did a wonderful job. I got to hear Kelvin and I got to listen to Carol yesterday. And I said, it's good, God, when you can, you know, share and let other people have the opportunity to minister.
It's going to be great.
Oh, oh Lord.
Teacher's going to remove me from the glass.
Come up here and let me take my ruler and smack your hands. Oh, Lordy. Okay, well, anyway, as I was saying, it's great. So I know y'all were blessed by it, and I was blessed to listen to them as well. So let's pray. Father God, we do rejoice in you today in your goodness and your love and your mercy and your forgiveness towards us, Father God. We just thank you. It is a good day. And oh, Lord, I just commit this time into your hands and just ask the Holy Ghost to talk to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I did listen to when Carol shared last Sunday, and y'all had some really good discussion, and really ministered to me. And as I was preparing for today, I got hung up in one spot. And the Holy Ghost, I believe, started talking to me. He gave me some scriptures to share with you all. And if you weren't here last Sunday, you know, I'll kind of fill you in on what I'm going to share about. But I feel like it's just a place that, you know, he wanted us to encourage us in. And then we'll move on further. But we're on the chapter on time to play offense. And let's see, that's chapter 9. And it's, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. And there's a testimony in here, starting on page 145. And it's at the bottom of the page, there's a paragraph before he gives the testimony. He said, I received a testimony of God's divine protection from Sally, who lives in South Africa. Be encouraged as you read how she prayed for protection, knowing that she is righteous in Christ. And some of the discussion last week was about righteousness. And, you know, really knowing your righteousness. I enjoyed everything everybody shared. Carol expounded on it. Jean Becker. Jean expounded on it. It was all really good. And as she was reading this testimony, I'm going to start it out, but I'm going to tell you where we're going to stop here in a minute. It says, I was driving a rented car when I heard a loud bang. Within moments, I realized the car was on fire. I immediately switched off the engine to get out, but to my horror, I could not remove the seatbelt or open the door. I was stuck. Finally, I managed to get the door open. By then, the flames were threatening to come inside the car, and I had to close the door again. A few other motorists came screaming at me to get out because the car looked like it was about to explode. They didn't know that I was trapped by the seatbelt. I called out to Abba Father and just declared, I am your righteousness. You are the only one who can save me. And this is where I got stopped. I listened to comments that was made about that. Carol, you said, I'm not sure that's what I would have said. And as I was listening to it, I agree. I'd have probably said, oh, Jesus, you know, help, or the blood. I'd have, you know, pled the blood of Jesus. Or, you know, we don't know what we would do in those situations. You know, I've been in some things that have happened really quick, you know, and, you know, I know that sometimes what comes out of my mouth is, oh, Jesus, you know, and all of that is good. But then y'all got in a discussion about righteousness because, you know, he shared before that she prayed the prayer of protection knowing that she's righteous in Christ. And so as I was pondering on this, I even thought about during the night last night. One thing that I saw in this was, she said, "I am your righteousness. You're the only one who can save me." And what kept kind of being reiterated in my heart was, she spoke from her place of identity. She was speaking identity. This is who I am. This is who I am. And you know, I've heard a lot of testimonies from Joseph Prince's from his books, but also some of his website and different things, you know, and everything. And I'll be honest with you, I read some of those testimonies, and you know, people will say they get into situations or they're dealing with an addiction. I mean, strong addictions, like years of pornography, years. I mean, one I read, it was a woman, she had been hooked on heroin for, I mean, I think it was like 30 years. I'm talking about strong addictions. And, you know, and they listened to messages on being righteous. And then when they're either tempted to fall into that place of their addiction, or they get in a situation like this, they'll say, "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." And it's like when they do that on a consistent basis. Now, they're listening to teaching as well. It's just not some magic words that you say. You understand what I'm saying? Then, you know, they're freed from that addiction. Healed of diseases. Like one testimony that comes to my mind is this one. And this one really touched my heart because it was a pastor. I shared this at Carol's class, I think, the last time we met. But he loved to do chewing tobacco. You know. But he knew it wasn't best for him. And he was addicted to it. So one Sunday, he told his congregation that he said, "I'm laying down tobacco." You know, he confessed it, however. They probably already knew. But anyway, he said, "I'm laying down tobacco. Not going to chew it anymore." And said there was a really kind of a move of God. Other people came to the altar, laid down their whatevers, you know, and everything. But he said a week later, guess what I was doing again? Chewing tobacco. And it was heartbreaking to him. But in the process of all that, he began to really center in on listening to message about his right standing with God. No condemnation. Totally forgiven. So on and so forth. And as he did, the revelation of his righteousness came to him. And even when he would be in the midst of chewing tobacco, he'd say, "God, I know. But I also know that even right now, because of Jesus, not because of what I'm doing or not doing." And Jean, you reiterated on this some last Sunday. Spiritually, we're right with God. We have a flesh that we deal with. But this was his way. And he'd say, I know that I stand before you, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, not because of what I'm doing. And this is, of course, a paraphrase. It's not word for word. Well, anyway, he proceeded on to do that. And then, and he said, "God, I can't. I can't quit doing this on my own." You know, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And he said, "I can't, but you can." You know, in every addiction that you're in, you know, the thing that you need is a heart change. You can put all kinds of do's and don'ts on the outside of you, and it'll last for a while, and then you'll fall flat on your face. And really what he was crying out to God was for a heart change. And part of that heart change came with him seeing himself righteous before God, even when he was chewing tobacco and receiving no condemnation. Because when you receive the condemnation, that's what will keep you in that place of where you're trying to get free from. And so then over, you know, a period, it wasn't long, he said, I totally lost the desire. It's astounding. But you know, where did that come from? His revelation that I am right before God because of the cross, because of Jesus, not because of what he was doing or anything. So, you know, when I was reading this and I saw that, you know, she was speaking her identity, just like that pastor, he was speaking his identity even though it didn't look like it was him. Does that make sense? He was speaking his identity. You know, the devil is an identity thief. You realize that, don't you? You know, in the natural, we, you know, want to pray, guard ourselves, or we don't want anything like hacked in our financial realm, right? Because it can steal what? Your identity. A person can take over your identity, take over your Social Security, take over your account and everything. I mean, I'll never forget the day we got a letter that somebody had opened up an account in another bank, and right there was Dusty's Social Security number. I mean, it's not a funny feeling. When, you know, it's such an invasion. You know, it's like when somebody breaks into your house and you feel like you've been invaded, you know, and there's other examples of that. But anyway, you know, I felt like, oh my gosh, been invaded. But anyway, so, you know, somebody was wanting, thank God it didn't go very far, but, you know, wanting to steal his identity. Well, that's what the enemy wants to do, is steal our identity in Christ. Through what? Accusations. Accusing. Accusing you of what you have done or haven't done, and accusing God to you because of what you've done or haven't done. And the thing to take care of that is being established, being grounded, have revelation of, I am truly righteous before God, and nothing can take that away from me. Because I didn't pay for it. Jesus did. And so, you know, Carol and I have had this discussion, and I heard her mention it to you all, you know, last week. Do we really know that we're righteous in God's sight? Do we really know that? You know, I can tell you there's times, and this, I go in, I come out. I go in, I come out. That's not, you know, God wants me established in that. And I'm going to give you a scripture for that. So anyway, I wanted to share with this. I don't know what you would do in that kind of situation. And that's not really the point that I'm trying to make here. It's not what would we do if we were in that kind of a car situation or any kind of situation is. But why did she say, I'm righteous? I'm the only, God, you're the only one that can save me. And you know, and God honored that, and he stepped in. They were not magical words. She said that out from the depth of her heart, I'm sure. And so God gave me, I have three scripture verses to share with you. Psalm 34, verse 15. This is what came to me as I was meditating on this. It says, the eyes of the righteous, wait, let me find it. The eyes of the righteous upon the right. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And I felt like the Lord ministered to me when she said, I am your righteousness. What did God do? His eyes are upon the righteous, and he's attentive to what? Her cry. That opened up the door. Okay? Okay, I'll leave you with that one. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. She certainly had something to cry about. And then Isaiah 54, verse 14. Man, I like this. When he gave me this, I said, God, this is so good.
You said verse 14?
Yes, Isaiah 54, verse 14. I want to read that out of the New King James Version. I know some of you in here probably have it, but anyway. It says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Okay, it starts out by saying, in righteousness you shall be what? Established. I looked up the word established, and you know, you kind of know when you say that what it means. But it says to show to be valid or true. So God's giving instructions here that we can be established in righteousness. We should be. It should be our foundation, I believe. I remember years ago, I had ordered these CDs from Brother Copeland's ministry, and they were on different things, you know, just a group of them. And I remember listening to the ones on righteousness, and he talked about, you know, cracks in foundations makes a house weak. It can collapse. And he said, you know, I can remember him saying that you need to be established in righteousness. So your foundation will be firm, secure, and all. And I mean, I'm talking about being established in it. Not just when pastor says, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we say, yes, amen. You know, that's part of the vision for Christian Growth Center and all. I mean, we probably would all say that. But what happens when the rubber meets the road? And you just maybe did something, thought something, whatever, that made you didn't feel too righteous. You know, he wants us to be established in righteousness. And when we're established in it, look what happens. You'll be far from oppression. Depression. I mean, isn't that what the word's saying? And what? You'll not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Now we can read the scripture verse above it that says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. You know, I'm sure you've prayed that over your children, grandchildren, and other children, and so on and so forth. Great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. You know, I can't tell you how many people over probably the past few months that I've heard talk about young people that are dealing with anxiety, panic attacks. I mean, young people. Young. I'll give you, this is funny. I hope Tony never, I hope she won't ever listen to this. Our little 13-year-old granddaughter in Tennessee. Well, she got caught doing some things she shouldn't have done, you know. So she's crying. And she's going, and you know, and just, I'm having a panic attack. Seriously, she's saying this. And her daddy says to her, Josie, you have cried like this since you were 3 years old. But her mother, I mean, she got excited. And she called Tony and she says, Josie's having panic attacks. See, this is what's happening. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. It's like, I don't know, it's a spirit, I believe, because, you know, I've told you about kids in school. The thing of it now, especially with girls, is, you know, you're having panic attacks, you need to go to counseling, you need to get on an antidepressant. I'm talking about young teenagers. I mean, the thing to do used to be, you know, whatever, but it wasn't ever like, you know, it wasn't a pill or, you know, or all this and that. And, you know, I mean, Tony just set his foot down. He said, you are not having panic attacks. And, you know, we're not going down that road and whatsoever. But you know what? And I think, you know, and Josie's born again, but she's not established in righteousness. And you know what? And I've dealt with depression for years. And part of the reason, after reading in this and what I've learned for in the past probably 2 years, I haven't been established in my righteousness that I have in Jesus. And you know what? When you're established in the righteousness that's yours in Jesus, you know what you're established in? It's His love. Because it's His love when He went to the cross that brought us our right standing with the Father, that we can go boldly before the throne of grace. And so, however, wanted to encourage you with this scripture verse, that if you will allow yourself to be established in righteousness, you'll be far from oppression, and you'll not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Because like this woman here, she had evidently been establishing herself in righteousness. And so when this happened, I think it's an example. She was far from oppression. Terror didn't come to her. She didn't fear. Isn't that amazing? There's a reason behind that, folks, that in that accident, why it happened that way. She was established. She knew her identity was secure. And so this is a fruit of it. Fruits of righteousness. Far from oppression, you'll not fear. From terror, it shall not come near you. And then the other scripture that the Lord gave me was Job 22:28, which is, you shall declare a thing, and it shall be established. And it said that, you know, she called out to Abba, Father, and she what? She declared. I am your righteousness. You're the only one who can save me. And we need to be declaring. We don't wait till we get in situations like that. I can remember Joyce Meyer saying when she realized that she didn't have a revelation of God's love for her. She said, there would be days I'd go around. She'd say, I'd say 50 times a day, God loves me. God loves me. I've heard Joseph Prince say, he said, before he gets out of, there'd be days, he said, when I was trying to grab a hold of the revelation of righteousness, he said, before I get out of the bed, he said, I can't tell you how many times I said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I had to start my day out like that. And you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when it comes out of your mouth, what does it create in your heart? It's faith. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a moment and see if anybody has any comments they want to make. What do you think about all of this?
I just realized when you were reading that testimony again that righteous thinking is changing. I'm changing the way I'm thinking because I was trying to think. Friday night, we on our way to the funeral home, we stopped at the Clays. And I did an unusual thing. I cooked, and so I took some food to them. And so we went in. We said, we can't stay but a minute. We're on our way. Well, we never go to the place that he doesn't ask us to pray.
Oh,
and sweet. So he said, Frida's had a really bad day. And I just realized while sitting here how I prayed, which I've never prayed before. And I was praying, and I stopped, and I said, I'm going to lay hands on you, Frida. And I said, this unrighteous thing cannot be in you, and I demanded to get out in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
I had never prayed that way before that I can remember. And I hadn't even remembered till right now how I prayed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That unrighteous thing, yes. Mm-hmm. Sickness and disease.
Yeah, I don't think we will put up with that stuff in us if we get this down in us,
yes. This
righteousness. I don't think we'll put up with a lot of things that we've put up with. I'm talking about us here in this room.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And just to think. It'd be interesting to know how many people that Christian, born-again people, and you ask them, are you righteous? and the answer would be in the negative. It'd just be interesting to know, but I suspect way up there in the percentage.
Yes.
Because we don't have that understanding.
Right.
And we don't understand that God loves us even when we do these unrighteous things, fleshly things, and when we do those things. See, Brother Copeland's got a book out now about love, and that God's love is without, I mean...
Without condition?
Without condition. Yep. And we don't, when we think that we've done something wrong, the average person thinks, God don't like me now that I've done this.
Yeah.
You know, this is, I mean, I'm understanding some things that I've not understood about for a long time. And
in
situations that arise, probably not acted in a righteous manner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we've got to do, is to see where we are and then where we're supposed to be and move toward it. So this is good to bring this up.
Well, you know, you're talking about acting in a righteous manner. I heard Joseph Prince tell this story, and he said they were on vacation, and his wife was pregnant, and they went into a restaurant to eat. And so they went back to the back so they'd be away from anybody that would smoke, because he didn't want his wife to breathe it. And said... They're sitting there, and a couple sits down from across the table from them, and he pulls out a cigarette. Well, Joseph Prince didn't act righteously. He said, I became livid inside. And he said, I just wanted to go over, basically, and grab the cigarette away from him and this and that. And he said, you know, shouldn't he know better? This woman's pregnant, blah, 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 blah. And in the midst of all of that, God said to him, you know I love you. See, that's when you really understand righteousness. Because God knows we're in a flesh. You know, the Holy Spirit is our helper, but you know, we're not perfect and we're not always going to act right. And so anyway, and you know, that kind of settled him down, and he said, okay, you know what? I'm the righteousness of God. And Joseph Prince said this to himself, and he said, you know what? God's eyes are upon me, and his ears are attentive to my prayers. So he said, I'm praying God, he'll not be able to light that cigarette. And so he goes to light his cigarette, and guess what? He can't get it lit. This is understanding your righteousness. That when we don't behave perfectly, like you said, God doesn't get mad at us. He's not ready to cast us aside till we straighten up and act better. And he said, you know, it was a tremendous lesson, he said, for him to learn. And I thought that was pretty astounding myself. And I thought, I ain't had no prayers like that answered. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Then he won't light his cigarette. That's how much God loves us. And that's when we know our understanding of righteousness. That's why the devil does not want us to understand our righteousness. He wants us to think that God's... And we're going to get into this next week, I believe. Maybe. But anyway. But he wants us to think God's mad at us. And you think of the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Now, I've heard Creflo teach on this one. He said she was caught in the act of adultery. And was drug out, you know, and you know the story, whoever, they wanted to throw stones at her, and, you know, Jesus said, whoever you have not seen, throw the first stone, you know, and they all dropped their stones and walked away. And he teaches on this, and he said, you know, Jesus, when he wrote down, he said, I believe he wrote on his, it wasn't dirt, it was a rock, like, you know, if when the Ten Commandments were written, in stone, and you know, and he looked up to her and he said, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. And you know, that was God's love towards her. And I always would look at that. I seriously, I'd look at that, okay, Jesus didn't condemn her, and this would be my thinking, I wouldn't say it out loud, but I think, okay, she's got to go and figure out how she's not going to do that anymore. But you know what? God gave her, he gave her a gift of no condemnation. He didn't condemn her. Now, would we do that? Sure. We would think, you know, that's an awful thing to do. Adultery is an awful thing to do. But you know, God doesn't categorize. He doesn't categorize sin. You know, she was right in his eyes, and he said, go and sin no more. So there's great, tremendous power that is available to us when we understand righteousness. And Jean, we'll stand in our authority like we've never stood in our authority before. See, you stood in authority Friday night or whatever night that was. You stood in authority when you said, when you spoke to that unrighteous thing. You did you? Yeah. So we need to not let the enemy steal our identity any longer. And praise God, Pastor Todd, I wasn't here last Sunday, but I think he's continuing teaching on righteousness. And, you know, I believe we need to hear it more and more and more and receive a revelation of that. It has nothing to do with us and our performance. That's what we have to get past. And it's changing our thinking. You know, repent. Repent. If you look up the word repent in a regular dictionary, it means, you know, you're sorry, you grovel, you probably whatever. And repent in the Greek, it just means change your mind. It just means change your mind. There's some things we need to change our mind about. And one of them, I believe, is, you know, righteousness. And become established in righteousness, you know. And when we do that, you know, oppression will be far from us. Man, you know, I read that years ago, but I'll be honest with you, didn't believe it. You know, I just wanted it to leave, the depression. But I look back on it, and it was there for so many years because I just didn't know who I was. And because I didn't know who I was, it just let the enemy just beat me up every time I did something wrong. I actually said to God one time, this, you know, you may laugh, it's, anyway, to show you, but anyway, I said to God one time, is there anything else you would like to show me that's wrong with me? And you know what? God wasn't showing me anything that was wrong with me. He's not the accuser. And I thought for a long time, I'm going to open up probably a whatever here, but I thought for a long time that the Holy Ghost convicted me of my sins. You can't find that in the Word. John 16, if you read it, I'm not sure which verse, but just read chapter John 16. It says the Holy Ghost will convict you of your righteousness. But I thought it was the Holy Ghost doing that. You're talking about some wrong thinking? Man, have I had to change my thinking. And so, you know, and God wasn't telling me what was wrong with me. He wasn't condemning me. I was condemning myself, doing a pretty good job at it. But now I'm learning. I mean, it's like a lifeline. You learn that you're right with God. And, you know, I may not get caught in a situation like that with the car. But I can get caught in some other situations where the attack wants to come. And, you know, and I learned from this. I said, Lord, you know, I realize I need to declare more of who I am. Make that declaration before I get into those. Whatever kind of situation. So, you know, I pray you receive this. I just felt like we couldn't go any further. We had this opened up to us right here. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to look at why she did that. And he gave me 3 scripture verses for you to think on, to meditate on. And then I believe we'll be able to, you know, be able to go on. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to share. Okay, I think that's it. Anybody else want to make comments about what you think? A lot to learn, isn't there? I thought I knew some stuff. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. All righty. Well, we'll pick up next week. Is there no suffering for the believer? Oh, I will say this. Then authority over death. I love what he teaches about authority over death. Anyway, really, really like that. Then we'll get into the next chapter. And you know what we're going to talk about in the next chapter? You know, we've been taught for years, it's how much we love God, right? Haven't we? How much we love God. Just how important it is that we love God. Well, then, we're going to start learning next week. It's not as important how much we love God, but that we know that God loves us. And out of knowing that God loves us, we love God. But anyway, just give you a little something to think about. I encourage you to read the next chapter if you have time to and if you can. All righty. God bless you. Thank you so much.